SOP number 147. Today, Dave talks to the writing class at Ohio State University.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
All right, hello and welcome to the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Today's show is for people that are, if you're just thinking about getting into podcasting, well then guess what? This show is really probably going to be right up your alley. I was lucky enough to meet Doug Dangler. He's the Associate Director for the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing at Ohio State University at PodCamp Ohio. And I'll have a link to his podcast out in the show notes. It's available in iTunes. And when I met him at PodCamp Ohio, he said, "Hey, would you ever be interested in talking to my class about new media and podcasts and such and such?" So he gave his class a computer. We met via Skype, and I've been using the new video feature on Skype. That's kind of fun. And in this case, my camera worked, their camera didn't, so they could see me, but I couldn't see them, but that's okay. And so you'll hear that interview coming up in just a second, right after I remind you that our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. We've got online tutorials. We've got a resource section. If you're looking for PodSafe music, if you're looking for voiceover talent, if you're looking for places to promote your podcast, if you're looking for anything, it's in our resource section, along with, of course, our weekly live webinars where you can ask questions just like these people did. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the interview. I'll see you on the other side.
So we're a mystery to you, but you know who we are.
That's all right. I'll just picture you naked. Isn't that what they always say?
Yeah, you probably don't want to do that. it's just a suggestion from my past experience. And Dave, you've got the mic to talking to him, so I'm going to say, Dave, I'm going to turn you over to Chessie. She's going to ask you some questions about podcasting. And,
okay.
We're going to go from there and talk about what you do and the things that you see on the horizon for podcasting and writing online and promotions and things like that using the internet. And Chessie, take it away.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
What did you do before you were a podcasting consultant?
I was, for about 10, 12 years, I've been teaching people the internet, or basically technology. I mean, I started off, I actually used to teach a class, how to surf the internet. That's how long I've been doing this, because nobody understood what a search engine was, or, you know, back in the days of Hotbot. Yes, there was time before Google, believe it or not. And so I used to teach people like Microsoft Office and things of that nature. So I've always been teaching people computers in one fashion or another. And then I was doing it in a corporate world, so I was teaching people ACT and Goldmine and basically any kind of software. Somebody needed it to be taken down to a level to where people could understand it, they would bring me in. So I did that for about 10 years and then went to work for a friend and found out that you really shouldn't go to work for friends. And in the process, when I left that establishment, went back to jump back into the corporate world. And the corporate world said, "But Mr. Jackson, you don't have a degree in teaching. I know you've been doing teaching for a while, but you don't have the degree in it." So right now I'm actually back in school. And to pay for school, I jumped into podcasting. I had been doing a newsletter for about 3 years for musicians. And one of my readers said, "You should look into this podcasting thing. It sounds pretty cool." So back in 2005, I started podcasting. And at that time especially, it was really hard to start up because there was no information about it. So I said, that looks like a supply and demand issue. I know how to podcast, and it's not that easy. So I started the School of Podcasting.
All right. Well, what sort of podcast do you listen to?
I listen to podcasts. Some of them are just music. I'm a big fan of like hard rock. If you like Creed and Disturbed and things like that, I do that. But I also like blues. I listen to, let me give you some examples. Geekbrief.tv is a website for one. It's shiny, happy tech news, they call it. If you're into that kind of music, hard rock, definitely check out thescenezine.com. I listen to Marketing Over Coffee, because I'm again kind of into the marketing end. The Struggling Entrepreneur is another one I listen to. If I had my iPod, I could tell you many more. The Geologic Podcast is a kind of a comedy show. Oh, I forget, there's one about internet marketing secrets that's not coming to my brain. So it kind of varies all over the place. For a while, I was listening to Dr. James Dobson has a podcast on marriage, because I'm getting ready to get married here in about a year, so I thought I should brush up on my marriage skills. The great thing about podcasting is you can have a podcast about... There's somebody that one of my clients has a podcast about sled dogs, and he lives in Michigan, and so he's never going to have that 10,000, 8 bazillion people audience. But the people that find that audience go, oh my gosh, he's talking to me. This podcast was designed for me. So the great thing is you can kind of find a podcast about anything.
Very good. Well, congratulations on your upcoming nuptials.
Thank
my
you.
Next question is, what applications do you believe podcasting would best replace or immensely augment?
Replace. Well, everybody thinks it's going to replace radio. It's not. People thought VCRs were going to replace movies. They don't. They're going to put a dent in radio. I was listening to an interview yesterday on satellite radio, and they were interviewing Mel Karmazin, who's the head of satellite radio, and he was saying, I'm competing with iPods. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, that it's an audio entertainment, it's video entertainment, and so yeah, we are competing with movies, and we're competing with TVs, and with things like Apple TV, you can now get podcasts on your TV. So we're slowly going where, you know, radio and TV and movies have gone. So we're slowly infiltrating. Will we ever replace them? I don't think so, because, you know, school closings, for example, you're not going to get school closings on a podcast. You can, but it kind of, you know, unless you downloaded it, you know, 10 seconds after you uploaded it, it's not going to make sense. So radio is always going to have its place for local news. And again, you can have local news on a podcast, but for immediate right now kind of stuff, we're not going to replace radio.
Okay. Do you need an iPod to do podcasting?
No, I'm glad you asked that question. You don't need an iPod to create a podcast, and you don't need an iPod to listen to it. The great thing about podcasting, the power of podcasting, is I can create, let's just say for now we're talking about audio, I can create an audio podcast, I can upload it, and where radio, you have to be, you know, Thursday nights at 7 if you want to hear the show. Now, you can listen to my show whenever you want. You can download it to your computer. So you need a computer, you need speakers, and you need ears. That's basically it. Now, the great thing about an iPod is right now, if you just have a computer and speakers, you can listen to that show whenever you want. So the whole must-see TV thing, that goes out the window. And the buzz phrase, you ready for the buzz phrase? It's time-shifted. It's time-shifted material. And so you can listen to that whenever you want. Now, the great thing is, if you do have an iPod or a Zune or any other kind of portable media device, now, not only can you listen to me whenever you want, you can listen to me wherever you want. So now that morning drive that, hey, I can't afford satellite radio and I miss Howard Stern, well, now I can listen to Keith and the Girl in the car on my iPod.
All right. Now, what do you have to say about people who say that blogging isn't really writing?
I would tell that newspaper reporter to go back and do some research. Bloggers are the people that broke the whole Dan Rather thing, where they outed the fact that they didn't check their sources. That came from a blog. Bloggers have the same responsibilities as reporters, and that is to check your facts. The nice thing about the internet is you don't have to be a tech guru to blog. You know, you can throw up a WordPress site in 2 seconds and off you go. But that doesn't, just because you can post anything doesn't mean you should. I guess is a way of saying that. And so we all, it's still, you know, if you're going to be a responsible blogger, and to me, blogger equals journalist, you're getting printed or readable information to your readers. Now, whether it's your subscriber and you get that paper delivered to your doorstep, or your subscriber and you get that blog delivered to your Google front page, it's still delivered, it's still something to read, and you still have that responsibility to check your facts. I've been involved in a couple different articles about podcasting where people just didn't check their facts, where they were saying, oh, podcasting is dead, or this is wrong, or, you know, when Apple came out, I forget what the actual story was, but it was about a year and a half ago where Apple did something, and everybody was saying that Apple was going to go around and sue everybody over the trademark. And if you actually went back and read the documentation that Apple put out and check your facts, you could see that was completely wrong. So, yeah, blogging is a great, it's, you know, it's, to me, it's the same. The only difference is we're used to reading the newspaper. We're used to getting the magazines. We're having that issue now of moving people's mindset to, hey, this is the same kind of subscription. You can subscribe on this little button and have it automatically delivered the same. And so it's going to take some time. It's taken some time now for podcasting to get up because, like you just said, do I need an iPod? There are so many people that you say, hey, I have a podcast, and they go, oh, I don't have an iPod. So we have to, it's going to slowly take some time to kind of form the readers, the listeners, the viewers into what it takes and get them. If you think about it, email, when email first came out, everybody's like, oh, I don't understand email. And now, you know, grandma's emailing. So it's just going to take some time to get people used to it.
All right. Understanding that each consumer is unique, as a podcasting consultant, do you have a typical customer, or is there a great variety of people that you seek, that seek your services?
They're all in need of publicity. Is the bottom line. They all want to somehow get their message. They all feel they have a message, and they all do. I have one person that's a psychologist, and he wants to create kind of a psychology and how to help people battle stress. Now, why is he doing that? Because he has a book that he wants to promote. So he's using podcasting as a marketing tool. I have some clients that are businesses that have figured out that, hey, instead of bringing all the salesmen in to the sales office where they come from, you know, 30, 40 miles away in some point, we can actually deliver the sales numbers via a podcast, via a private podcast, and we can send the information to them, and then they can call in via phone and things like that and still contribute. So they're communicating. It's now time-shifted communication. It's not live, but it's time-shifted. But the cool thing is now they're getting their sales information while they're driving to that first appointment. So instead of driving to the office, which they've got to pay for mileage and gas, then you've got that expensive meeting where they're sitting there and they go over the numbers, and then everybody has to go back to their first appointment, but now they're 40 miles away. It's more efficient. They're still getting the same information. They're still getting, in some cases, they're thinking better communication because some people get intimidated when it's face-to-face. So they're doing it now via a toll-free number if they want to chime in on something. So it's one of those things where there's so many different applications for it. There are some, I had a grandparent that had grandkids in Florida. And for whatever reason, because to me, I think they could do this via something like Skype, but they actually told bedtime stories. And maybe there was a time difference. Maybe they were on the West Coast. I forget exactly. But they were reading bedtime stories, and the parents would then play it to their grandkids when they went to bed. That was like the most kind of Hallmark thing I've heard. But it's a lot of different applications for it.
Okay. Are you paid every time you get a hit from a listener?
No, absolutely not. You can in some cases. There are a couple different ways to get paid in podcasting. One is you can sell a sponsorship. And in a way, you're kind of getting paid per download because some sponsorships want paid, like you say, well, you know, pay me X amount of money per 1,000 downloads of my podcast. And so that's one way to make money. That's a hard way to make money also. A lot of people are finding it's more beneficial, especially if you have your own product, to start a podcast about something that your target, let's say it's here's an example, Maytag, the washing machine people have a podcast, but it's not about washing machines because who wants to listen to a commercial? They have a podcast for family, so topics include things like how to get your kids to brush their teeth longer and, you know, how to get stains out and things like that. So it's information that the person that wants to buy a washing machine goes, oh wow, this is stuff that I need because this is, I'm a family person, I have kids, things like that. So people are doing that. I use my podcast for the School of Podcasting. I give tips about podcasting. I explain what podcasting is and things like that. But the idea of that podcast is to A, have you start to build a relationship with me, and they go, oh, here comes my friend Dave with some more tips about podcasting. And then eventually they go, you know what, I'm ready to jump into podcasting. So they'll go over to my website, schoolofpodcasting.com, and sign up. There was a candle maker that has a podcast about candles, and what he's doing is he's keeping his brand in front of his target audience. And there are different things about relaxing and different the history of candles and things like that. So that's another way to use podcasting as a marketing approach, but not so much a marketing approach where it's this Sunday, kind of jam it down their throat kind of thing. It's more, here's what my target audience, maybe it's information that, again, that will help them. It's a helpful tip, things of that nature. And you can get them involved. It's a great way, again, to time shift conversation. So you can actually communicate with your audience via things like voicemail and things like that, so they can listen to your podcast. You put it out today, they're going to listen to it next Thursday, and then they're going to comment on your blog. So it's a great way to get some communication going with your target audience. And then the other way is through affiliate marketing. You may be talking about something in your podcast. You may find something that, I'll give an example, maybe you play music in your podcast. You could actually, if that artist is on CD Baby, you can put a link to their website, and if somebody buys that CD, you get a buck. And if you do that 100 times, you just made $100. So through affiliate marketing, through selling your own product, is another way to make podcasting. And then the third one is through sponsorship or all of the above.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the time you've taken out to lend your expertise, and I'll turn you over to our professor now.
Okay.
Well, that wasn't so painful, was it?
No.
Okay. So do you have any other words of wisdom for them as they go out into the new media workplace? Anything that you're suggesting would be helpful for them?
Well, number one, there are places like PodcastAlley.com and PodcastPickle.com. Those are places where you can find podcasts. And if you're thinking of starting one of the easiest things to do is go out and listen to some other podcasts and find out, I like this one, and then write down why you like it, and then write down the ones that you don't like and why you don't like them. Because the one thing about your podcast is it's going to be completely different because it's yours. I have people on occasion, they go, I was going to start this podcast, but there's other one that's going to be just like mine. I said, no, it's not, because it doesn't have you. And then the other thing is, whether it's a cassette tape recorder, do something to record kind of a test show and see if you like it. Get some feedback on it from friends. Don't ask mom, because mom will tell you that she loves it. But get some feedback, and also realize that it's going to take about, for every 1 minute of audio podcast, it's going to take about 4 minutes to produce. And people are like, well, how is that? Well, it's going to take, some time to research your subject. It's going to take some time to record it. In some cases, it may take some time to edit it, and then it's going to take some time to upload it to your website. So by the time you do that, it's about a 4-to-1 ratio. And if you're doing video, it's an even greater ratio. So sometimes we want to jump into podcasting, and we go out and spend all sorts of money on it. And it only takes maybe $300, if not less, to jump into podcasting. But then they find out, wow, this actually takes some work. And it does. It's not hard, but it's got to be a little bit of time spent to it. And that's why I always say the number one rule is pick something you're passionate about, because it's that passion that's going to drive you through the little bit of learning curve at the beginning.
Thanks very much. Anybody else have a question for Dave? Anyone? How many hits constitute a successful podcast?
One. If you connect, it depends. If that person, there was somebody I read on a blog the other day, they got a $4,000 sale from their podcast. Now, I don't know how many listeners they had, but if they had one and that guy spent $4,000, that's a pretty successful podcast. It again, it's not the power of the numbers, it's the power of the niche. So if you think about it, number one, I just read an article where they said there are something about churches where the small town church has an average congregation of about 80 people. My podcast range from 300 to 400 people for my podcast about podcast. Again, it's niche. Not everybody wants to learn how to podcast. Then I have a podcast about the music biz. That gets about 2,000 downloads an episode. Now, there's another guy named Leo Laporte. He does a podcast called This Week in Tech. 10,000 downloads an episode, because there are a lot of geeks that want to know about that kind of stuff. So it's the niche. So you can have a candle podcast that has 70 listeners that's very, very successful because it's resulting in sales. I had a person that's doing he has a clothing line, a Christian clothing line. So he started a podcast called Lord Lifted Me. And he said before he was getting about one order, I think he said a week, and now he's getting one order a day. but he doesn't have a huge listenership. But it's enough to where it's starting to snowball and become and make his website more successful. So it's not all about the numbers. It's about the relationship between you and your listener, and that's really the power of podcasting.
What's your take on the power of iTunes in podcasting? I mean, I know there. I think my stuff is listed on Podcast Pickle. It's listed on Podcast Alley. But when I look at the numbers, I do two flavors. I do an AAC and an MP3 because the AAC, you know, you can wrap your video, mm-hmm. Pictures with it. And the AAC is 90-95% of the downloads I get, even though it's listed elsewhere. What's your take on that?
Yeah, iTunes is definitely, when you have a podcast, that's the place you want to be listed in. Apple was smart enough to kind of go, gosh, people are calling this a podcast, maybe we should look into this. And so they are the people that made it easy to subscribe to a podcast. They're the first company that came out that said, hey, if I click this button once, it'll load this software and subscribe me to the podcast. So they made the whole subscription process much easier. So consequently, they have, depending on what you read, anywhere from 70 to 85% of the market in terms of people. What do they use to listen to their podcast? Most people are using iTunes, so it's very handy to definitely, that's the one place I would say list your podcast in iTunes, list your podcast at Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle, and then there's a website called Podcast 411 that a friend of mine runs, and he has a directory of directories. There are probably around 80 different places that you can load your website or your podcast, and that's but the top three are definitely iTunes is the big huge elephant of podcast directories, and then Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle and the Zune Marketplace is slowly coming up. That's Microsoft is finally last year got involved in podcasting, and so they're slowly coming up the ranks, not as fast as we thought they were going to, but they're definitely in the top five now of things. When I look at how are people consuming my podcast, Microsoft is definitely now there too.
Is that directory separate from Podcast Pickle and Alley? Is there a Microsoft Zune based directory?
No, in the same way that iTunes directory, you have to install iTunes and then you go to podcast and then podcast directory. It's not that easy to find. I wish they would fix that. Zune, likewise, has a Zune Marketplace software that you have to download, install, and then I forget exactly how you get there, but there's a directory of podcasts inside the Zune Marketplace. The thing that's nice about iTunes and Zune is if you have an iPod, you basically, to get your iPod loaded with podcasts, all you do is start iTunes. iTunes goes out and checks every podcast that you subscribe to. And if there's a new podcast, it will download it automatically to your computer, where, again, you can listen to it if you don't have an iPod. But if you do have an iPod, it will automatically load it. It'll copy it on your computer and also copy it on your iPod. And Zune does the same thing. You subscribe to a podcast in their software. When you start that Zune Marketplace software, it goes out, checks to see if you have any new podcasts. If it does, downloads them to your computer, and then also synchronizes it to the Zune.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Dave. I'll have a round of applause here. I don't know if you can hear it other than just me.
Thank you.
But I appreciate it, and I will probably be in contact with you later today or something like that, and talk to you again.
Doug, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
A lot of fun.
Have a good day.
All right, that again is Doug Dangler. He's the Associate Director at the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing at Ohio State University. And I'll have a link out to his podcast. And if you'd like to contact me about possibly speaking to your group, you can a couple different ways. Just go out to schoolpodcasting.com. We've got our contact information out there. Our voicemail is 888-563-3228. Or you can email me, schoolpodcasting@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. I also want to let you know that I mentioned in the interview there that we do have live weekly roundtables, and I recently purchased a webcam. And this is for those really, again, brand new people that say, hey, how do you plug in your mixer? I can actually now show them, oh, here's how you plug this in. This is what this knob is for, things like that. So just things just keep getting better and better at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Hope to see you on the other side in the members area soon. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Until then, class dismissed.